Fanning. Weekends on 2FM.
Now, let's see. There you are, Carthage. How's it going?
Good morning, Dave. How you doing?
I'm doing very well indeed. It's actually afternoon now at this stage of the game, remember? You're obviously all over the place. You're working 28 hours a day. I just want to talk, first of all, about the music. What have you got out at the moment, and what's the name of, and what did I just play?
So you played Sparkle to the Dark, which is under the name Grid Runner, which is the title that I work under musically. And that's a song on the new album, which is the album The Ghost of Julius Mayer.
Okay, The Ghost of Julius Mayer. First of all, the name. Who's Julius Mayer?
Julius Mayer was a German physicist who defined the first law of thermodynamics. And I suppose what that really means is that he was an important person. The first law of thermodynamics really defines everything in science that we know about. It really means energy cannot be created or destroyed. It can just be transferred or transformed from one form to another.
So energy, when people die, must go somewhere, and science meets spirituality in the album, and that's really what it's all about.
That's essentially what it's about. It's about taking what we know about science and applying it to the spiritual realm, and it almost saying that science dictates that there must be a spirituality or a spiritual realm by virtue of the first law, by saying energy, your energy cannot just disappear when all this is over. It must go somewhere.
Okay, well, this is an album that you've got out now, and it was done before all this lockdown stuff happened, in terms of, say, let's say the beginning of March and that. And I would have come across you, first of all, many years ago, sending music into the programme and that. And also on the Roller Coaster Tour, you were in a band called Fiction. So that'll be about, I don't know, 20 years ago or so. We're Fiction from Sligo, where you're from.
Yes, absolutely. We were all from Sligo, and we all went to school together in Sligo, in Summerhill College, where we all went to school. So yeah, Fiction came from school. It was a band that directly came from secondary school.
And so, unlike Westlife, who went to the top of the charts, you didn't. Also from Sligo.
Thanks, Dave. Well, we charted a couple of singles, but we were very indie rock, and you know, our sound was very different to that of Westlife, and we really had nothing in common musically, I would say, with Westlife.
No. Okay, but the only thing, I was just getting the Sligo connection. By the way, Sligo's on the map a bit at the moment. Mother of God, with normal people, isn't it?
Yeah, it's something I haven't watched yet, and it's something that I'm a bit of a binge watcher, so I wait until everything is
right
up, and then I just run through it. So
12 programmes in a row, that's when you have any time off, and I want to get to that in a second or two, because just one last thing about that before I get back to music later. You charted singles, you went to the States and you toured, you did some festivals, etc. What was it like? I mean, when you went over and thinking, okay, we're going to maybe do something here, Fiction is the band and the future is ours.
Yeah, I suppose what happened was Fiction, we kind of finished. We did our last gig. We played a UCD Rag Week. I think it's Fresh as Ball, actually. And we played with Relish and the Walls, which were the Stunning at the time. Mm. And that was kind of the last gig that Fiction did. And then we kind of just all kind of got a bit disillusioned with the scene. And I went to America for the summer to work on a J1 visa. And then a few things happened over there. I've been working with Pat Dunn, the producer who produced this album, the Grid Runner album. And basically, yeah, it was interesting. Got to play on some festivals. My sister was with me, and we did a few things over there. And yeah, it was very interesting. It all just happened very, very quickly. And I came back, and rather than decide to keep the momentum going, I decided to go into medicine.
You decided to go into medicine. Just before, as I said, I'm going to talk music again later on, but you got the first album, A Different World, under the name Dream Child. That was in 2003. Then 2010, the second album, The Lost and Found, under your own name, Carthage, which was described, by the way, by Hot Press here, as an impressively Bowie-esque collection. And then the third album, now The Ghost of Julius Mayer, which I'll get back to a little bit later on. But you say medicine, you were classical music, then you switched to electric guitar, then you had studied science. So why medicine, and where did you do it?
I came from quite a medical family. Both my parents were doctors, and so growing up, it was just a natural, I suppose, point of interest in the house. And I was always very interested in science. I was never much good at sports. And science and kind of music were my interests. And so I like many people, kind of missed the points for medicine. I missed it by 5 the year I did it. And so I did science, and which I was actually thrilled with in hindsight. And it just gave me, I suppose, a bigger breadth of understanding of everything, and probably why it ties into the theme of this album. And so after that, I went on to medicine eventually.
Yeah, and you're currently working as a specialist in emergency medicine in Talla Hospital, and you've been in St Vincent's Hospital and probably others as well. So tell me then, what's it been like over the last 10 weeks? First of all, did you succumb?
Yeah, I did. I went down very early with this particular coronavirus back in the early March, and I was out of action for a while. And at that stage, we'd had it. We were at the beginning of it, and we'd had it in the department I was working in, and I got sick. I suppose within a couple of weeks of the whole thing kicking off.
Well, just tell me about the hospitals then, and like working there, and just what it's actually like. I mean, for an awful lot of people, it's working from home is one of the biggest things. But I mean, what's happening in the hospitals? The biggest public health crisis in a couple of generations, maybe. First of all, has there been a lot of precaution? Obviously, has there been a lot of tension?
Yeah, it's been very difficult for everybody. I mean, the word, I know unprecedented, has been overly used, but I suppose in the hospital context, the way emergency departments run has had to be redefined really and reworked, and really the way hospitals run and don't run. It's very difficult for everybody, and that's not just doctors and nurses. It's everyone from catering staff, porters, everybody, the cleaning staff, everybody, and when you're certainly on the front line going in to see patients, it's, you know, you're putting on this gear that's more akin to going to the moon almost, and you're wearing face masks, and so it's very frightening for patients, I suppose, is the main take home point, and because they're surrounded by people who all look the same and they don't look very human, and so it's stressful for them, and staff find that upsetting as well.
And when you say staff, I presume you know you're all in it together, so you're a proper team, every single one of you, right down to everybody who works cleaning the floors, let alone doing the stuff that you do too, like right across, the nurses, etc. Are you trained well to wear and then also to dispose of the PPE as a kind of an infection control measure?
There was training provided at the beginning of this, with regards to how you would put on Don and Duff, as they say, the PPE. But the reality is that it's in real time when you're doing it. It's easier said than done, and it's a difficult thing to actually do properly, particularly taking it off and getting it off in that respect. So there is training, and there was training available, but it's training is one thing, you know, it's difficult when you're doing it multiple times a day, and often you have to do it quickly, because someone might come in very, very quickly, or you've got to get out of it quickly to go and see someone else. So there are challenges.
Also, nurses and healthcare workers, healthcare assistants, they have to take turns in sort of 2 or 3 hour blocks to enter COVID areas. Is there a system in place, and does it work?
And there's a system in place, and I think that the emergency departments around the country have really banded together very well and learned from each other. And I suppose it does work. It's an imperfect system by virtue of what the virus is and how it's transmitted, but it's the best that we can do with what we have. And I think that people have functioned very well under the circumstances, and I think the numbers are really reflective of that. Now we're nowhere near, certainly in my experience, the kind of numbers of this coronavirus that we're seeing now relative to what we were at the beginning of the pandemic.
But I mean, also, like, when nurses want to comfort patients, the patients can't see them smile, and some patients haven't seen a family member in weeks, and they're isolated and alone, and then you're wearing stuff that's very hot inside those gowns, difficult to breathe through the masks. Is it twice as unreal as people might actually realise?
It is a little bit, and the department, when you walk into an emergency department, you just see big "do not go here" restricted area signs, and it's very difficult for members of the public whose family members may be in the department. I can't imagine what it's like for patients. We do our best to try and comfort patients and reassure them, and I suppose bring the humanity back to the situation. But the visual aspect of all of this is very difficult. When an emergency, being in an emergency department to start with when you're sick, is very scary, to, you know, in non-pandemic times anyway.
And also, like, patients present with a lot of different symptoms and medical history and surgical history and backgrounds. And some patients would have kind of higher dependencies and need more care and all the rest of it. Is there a quick turnover of patients?
There actually is a quick turnover of patients because of the type of, I suppose, the pandemic that we are in. Patients have to be moved relatively quickly, and often it's out of necessity. Sometimes when people come in, they're so unwell that their consciousness level may be significantly reduced, and as a result of that, you've got to act, and they are transferred to the intensive care unit maybe quite quickly, or transferred to another kind of more step down unit from that. But they don't, you know, they're not in the emergency department for long periods of time like they may have been in non-pandemic times. So I think there's a lot to learn from this in a positive way for the healthcare system going forward, particularly with regards to the trolley crisis. I don't think that we can go back to what we were dealing with before this, because we've shown that the system can work.
Yeah.
You know, if there's political will there to make it work.
Should we all be wearing masks?
I suppose anything I'm saying in this context, I suppose, is my opinion rather than me speaking for any official health body. I think first of all, you've got to look at where we are in Ireland. I think relative to other countries, you know, credit has to be given to the various bodies that have led us through this pandemic, and our numbers are much better than, say, they are in other countries. But yeah, I see what you're saying. I mean, I know yesterday looking out and about it was like an average May day in May, and wouldn't have known maybe that there was we were in the middle of a pandemic. We're in phase one at the moment, so I suppose that time will tell very quickly. I know there's a lot of pressure economically to open up again, but at the end of the day, the virus doesn't have an agenda. It doesn't really care. It will continue to go through the population accordingly, and people have to, I suppose, they really have to, you know, take the advice that they're given, ideally, because we all want to get out the other side of this as soon as we can. We don't want to go backwards, and I certainly don't think that population, any population at this point in time, having spent months in this, would find it easy to go backwards, back a step, and go retrograde.
Okay, and also, by the way, like, one of the statistics from England is that healthcare workers make up more than 25% of all diagnosed cases. You yourself have caught the virus as well. The mental health of your colleagues or friends, have you noticed anything? Have you talked about it? Is that something that comes up a lot?
Yeah, I think it's certainly, it has come up a lot. And I think certainly in the department I work in at the moment, in Tala, they run an excellent program where there are psychologists available, and they do what's called resilience training every week with the doctors, nurses, whoever really wants to come to it. And it's led by a team of psychologists over Zoom. And, you know, it's very much open, a very open forum about, you know, recognizing the effects that you may not even be aware of this. And I suppose this is a dry run into this circumstance. I mean, no one trained for this, so it's the fallout of this, as much as it economically will be unknown at the moment, I think the fallout psychologically and mentally probably will be untold until it's probably over.
Okay, well, I mean, on a day that in the last 24 hours, where Brazil and Russia have seen a surge in deaths and in loads of other places as well, this thing is still very much out there and still very much part of what we're doing. But I want to get back to what you're doing now. You're currently working as a specialist in emergency medicine in Tala Hospital, but you're also doing the music. And the music is album number 3, which I want to get back to now, The Ghost of Julius Mayer, who pioneered the law of thermodynamics. Is it a concept album, by the way?
I suppose it is. I didn't really plan on it that way, because, you know, I certainly would dread talking to someone like you, Dave, about a concept album.
Concept albums are right to get a bad press. I like concept albums sometimes. I think they're great.
I think that when I look back, the reality is that when I look at naming an album, the way I do it is, I suppose I look at the themes, I look at common themes throughout all the songs, and I realized that they had all followed a similar theme, and that was the themes of energy, and energy in terms of how people spend their energy, how they invest it, and I suppose essentially where their energy might may go. And so it is all very much centered around energy. It's dark in parts, but you know, that's inevitable. But overall, the message of the album is a very positive.
And who
message.
Did you work with on this album?
Pat Dunn produced this
you,
album.
You mentioned him, but who are the musicians?
So I did the instruments on the album,
right.
But also had Dave Keegan on drums. Anto Drennan came in and did some lead guitar on a couple of the tracks, as did Shane Fitzsimons on bass guitar. So they're and Fergal Davis mastered it.
Shane Fitzsimons from Damien Rice and Lisa Hannigan and Anto from The Corrs and Genesis and all that. Yeah, right.
Okay. Yeah.
So, Dave Keegan from Bell X One. Yeah.
Yes. Right. So I mean, so it was. There are people that I suppose I've worked with and known for a long, long time, going back as probably nearly as long as back in when I was with you on the roller coaster tour.
Yeah.
And I suppose it's you know, they're kind of friendships you build up over time, and they really do help massively in terms of a long term.
All right. Well, look, I'll tell you what. The album is under. By the way, I haven't even asked you where you got the name Carthage. In fact, I'll leave it out. I'm not going to. I'm sure every second person does.
Thanks, Dave.
Okay. So, Grid Runner, it is. That's what you call it now. The album is The Ghost of Julius Mayer, and I want to play this track here called The Grid from it, which I played a few times before actually as well. So, I just want to say, you've got the time to make the music, do you? You do it in your spare time. Do you at this stage?
Yeah, I mean, I do it. I mean, at the moment, I do. It's music and medicine, really, and that's been the balancing act. The Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Hey, very good. Okay, well, look, we'll play The Grid, and thanks a million, Carthage Carroll, for talking to us. And when are you back at work as a specialist in emergency medicine in Tala Hospital?
I've been back 2 months. I got sick early March. I was out for kind of 3 weeks, and I've been back nearly 2 months at this stage. So,
right.
Yeah.
All right, well, listen, enjoy it if you can, whatever. Listen, Carthage, thanks a million. Here's The Grid from Grid Runner. Thanks, Carthage. Good luck.
Thanks, Dave.
Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.